ॐ सहनावतु सहनवो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति John chapter 17, verses 5 to 9. Verses 5 to 9 is chapter 17.
Chapter 17 is?
Verses 5 to 9.
Oh, we are in 5.
We have completed till 4.
Right.
अशास्त्रविहितं घोरम् अशास्त्रविहितं घोरम् तव्यन्ते एततो जनाः तव्यन्ते एततो जनाः दम्भाहङ्कारसंयुक्ताः दम्भाहङ्कारसंयुक्ताः कामरागबलान्विताः कामरागबलान्विताः अशस्त्रविहितं घोरम् तप्यन्ते एततो जनाः दम्भाहङ्कारसंयुक्ताः कामरागबलान्विताः आहारस्त्वपि सर्वस्य सॉरी कर्षयन्तशरीरस्थं भूतग्राममचेततः मां चैवान्तःशरीरस्थं तान्विद्यास्तुरनिश्चया कर्षयन्तशरीरस्थं भूतग्राममचेततः मां चैवान्तःशरीरस्थं तान्विद्यासुरनिश्चयान् आहारस्त्वपि सर्वस्य त्रिविधो भवति प्रियः यज्ञस्तपस्तदा दानम् तेषां भेदमिमं शृणु आहारस्त्वपि सर्वस्य त्रिविधो भवति प्रियः यज्ञस्तपस्तदा दानम् तेषां भेदमिमं शृणु आयुस्सत्त्वबलारोग्यं सुखप्रीतिविवर्जनाः रस्यास्निग्धास्थिराहृद्याः आहारस्सात्विकप्रियाः आयुस्सत्त्वबलारोग्य सुखप्रीतिविवर्धनाः रस्यास्निग्धास्थिराहृद्याः आहारा सात्विकप्रियाः कत्वं ललवनात्युष्ण तीक्ष्णरूक्षविदाहिनः आहाराराजसश्रेष्ठः दुःखशोकमयप्रदाः कत्वं ललवनात्युष्ण तीक्ष्णरूक्षविदाहिनः आहाराराजसश्रेष्ठः दुःखशोकमयप्रदाः सो इन द बिगिनिंग ऑफ दिस चैप्टर Arjuna wanted to know, based on what Sri Krishna said in the previous chapter again. The previous chapter in Sri Krishna said, therefore one must study the scriptures and align one's life in accordance with the scripture. We've built the background to this. Compared to animals, which are given no choice of action, yet they are protected by nature because they function purely on instinct. They don't incur any karma, sin, right? Whereas the human being is provided with the choice of action, provided with the intellect, given the choice of action, and you, by your own choices, create your own karma. Right. Since you are given the choice of action, you better be making informed choices. If you are not making informed choices, or making informed choices, both ways your choices will determine your destiny. So to be able to make the informed choices, you need to fortify your intellect with the knowledge provided in the scriptures. Scriptures function as the what? Guide. And when you buy any material from the shop, laptop or anything that you buy, it comes with what is called as what?
Guide.
A book.
Manual.
Manual. That manual will help you how to use the equipment. Similarly, the equipment of this human body, mind, needs to be utilized in a proper way. This is what is spoken in the scriptures. If you function like this, what happens? If you function like this, what happens? Explains to you thoroughly. So therefore you have to adhere to the scriptures. Firstly you have to study the scriptures, adhere to the scriptures, and then align your life in accordance to the scriptures. So that's what it is. And now Arjuna is asking, if somebody is doing worship, puja, but they are not well informed with scriptures, they are not in alignment with scriptures, what kind of faith is there? Is what Arjuna is asking. And Sri Krishna is now trying to tell that you can find it out the moment they start manifesting their activities. If you are talking about worship, what kind of worship? Whom do you worship? Whom do they worship? Do they worship gods, yakshas, or rakshasas? And what is the motive of worship? Right? Why do they worship? Is it for spiritual growth? Is it for just material growth? Or is it for selfish growth through destruction of others? Read with me. What is their motive? And what is their mode? The mode of worship? By torturing themselves? Or by dissipating the energy, or by constructively energizing themselves? What kind of identification? From that you know whether their faith is sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. If it is in alignment with the scripture, then the worship will be for spiritual growth, the worship will be with positive motive, not selfish motive, or destructive motive, it won't be there. And the mode also will not be torturous, it will be more pleasant. You will be more energized. You understand? So this is what Sri Krishna has been saying. So in the fourth verse that we saw, this sattvika worship devatas, gods, devas. Rajasika worship yakshas, demigods. Tamasika worship Bhutagana, the hosts of spirits. So why are they worshipping hosts of spirits? To destroy others, and through others' destruction they want to gain. So whom do they worship? What is the motive of their worship? And the mode of worship. From that you know, see, all of us are sleeping. You don't know who is an engineer, who is a doctor, who is a lawyer, who is a chartered accountant, who is a cricketer. But when they wake up, their nature manifests. And when their nature manifests, you know, accordingly, an engineer will go to the engineering field, doctor will go to the hospital, cricketer will go to the cricket field, lawyer will go to the court, chartered accountant will go to his office to do the accounting. So, the moment the mind manifests, you know, and when the mind manifests, activities spring. So once the activities spring, then you know whom are they worshipping, who they idealize, who they idolize and worship, what is their motive, what is the method applied. From that you know whether the person's faith is sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. So that is why he says, devatas you worship for spiritual growth. In fact, in Vedas, when they talk about certain mantras and rituals performed to the deva, it is done for spiritual growth. You try to rise above the desires so that you overcome the desire to reach God. Whereas when you go to Yaksha, that is not the purpose. The purpose is not to rise above the desires. You understand? When in the Vedas they talk about Putra, you ask for Putra, the idea is to go through that and rise. Whereas in the Rajasic fellow, when he goes, it's not for him to grow out of it. He wants to go through the experiences, indulge in it, and multiply, aggrandize, acquire. That is the motive. See, the more and more you get closer to the scripture, scripture will not turn you against anything. Scripture will only say, your mind needs to grow out of it. Remember this. Renunciation is not giving up, it is growing up. A child playing with toys is fine. But as the child becomes an adult, the child should grow out of the toy world. Similarly, from Brahmacharya Ashrama, you go into Grihastha Ashrama, where you go into contact with the world. But you have to take the guidance from the scripture and live in such a way that you grow out of it. Are you with me? So if your faith is in line with the scriptures, then you will be growing out of it. So such people would be worshipping devas, contributing to the devas. Whereas those who have no concept of growing up, they are only interested in money. They don't know anything else. They don't know anything beyond that. Purely materialistic mindset. See, please understand, you don't become a materialist simply because you are dealing with materials. It's not the physical dealing with materialism that makes you a materialist. Who is a materialist? Who is a sensualist or a spiritualist? Who is a spiritual person? If in the mind spirituality is the center, then you are a spiritual person, even though you are transacting materially. Do you mean? Now even though you are in the mandir, but if your mind is thinking about material world, then you are a material person. So where your mind is rooted, that is the point. If your mind is rooted in materialism, you are a materialist. If your mind is rooted in spirituality, you are a spiritual person. So sattvic person's mind is rooted in spirituality. At the moment, I am not able to not think of these material things. But I know I have to grow out of it. Therefore, I am contacted. So I offer to the devas to help me to achieve that, at the same time, grow out of it. Whereas the Rajasic person offers to Yaksha is not an idea of growing out of it. It's an idea of amassing, acquiring, multiplying, no sharing, no nothing. We will talk about it later. So that sort of worship would amount to Rajasic. What's this where you pray to those kind of negative energies, trying to destroy the others, by pulling down others, you try to come first. No.
That would be tamas.
Of course. That is tamas.
What is competition
between them?
Competition
or competing? Competing. Competing would be more of rajas. A sattvic person would build his competence. He is not competing with anybody. He is just focusing on what is to be done. He keeps on increasing his competence. That, so putting into faith and all that, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. And a sattvic person will be increasing day by day his competence in whichever field he is by focusing on himself. A rajasic person, you know, focuses on competition and all that, try to compete with others, that external focus is there. Tamasic fellow will think in terms of him destroying the other companies and then trying to grow. Like even in the some of the movies, I've seen the movie Baag Milka Baag, where they show him. They try to hurt that Baag Milka Baag, that Milka Singh's story. They show that they hurt him so that he could not run.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of tamasic methodology when you walk, when you approach. A rajasic person may not get into those kind of things, but he has his own jealous, greed, all that. A sattvic person is not bothered about those things. He goes on increasing his competence. So this is what he said here. Sattvic worship devas. Rajasic worship yakshas. Tamasic worship bhutagans. Spirit. They go into all those ghosts and all that. They try to take that negative energy and through that they want to destroy. So, in short, whom do they worship? Why do they worship? How do they worship? Anything you do, you ask yourself, including coming to Bhagavad Gita class. Right? Why am I coming? How am I studying? What am I looking for from this? Then I will know. Whether my approach is sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. Simply because you study Gita doesn't mean you are a sattvic person. You understand? It's the mindset. That is what he's talking about. Next verse, verse number 5. अशस्त्रविहितं घोरं अशस्त्रविहितं घोरं तप्यन्ते एतभोजनाः तप्यन्ते एतभोजनाः दम्बाहङ्कारसंयुक्ताः दम्बाहङ्कारसंयुक्ताः कामरागबलान्विताः कामरागबलान्विताः अशस्त्रविहितं घोरं तप्यन्ते एतभोजनाः दम्बाहङ्कारसंयुक्ताः कामरागबलान्विताः. Those people who practice terrible austerity, not enjoined by the scripture. Terrible austerity, not enjoined by the scripture. With much hypocrisy and egoism, with so much of shobhaji. Everybody will know that you have come to Bhagavad Gita class. Right? You are sattvic, your presence will not be known. You quietly come, do, and quietly go. Like Nike slogan, just do it. No prefix, no suffix. Simply come, do and get out. No shobhaji. Rajasic, full of shobhaji. So that's what he's saying. With much hypocrisy and egoism, self-centeredness, what will I get? The motive is, I'm possessed by the power of lust and attachment. The whole idea is to take, not to give. The more you give yourself in worship, the more God will reveal through you. That's what is meant by when you say that you take one step, God will take seven steps.
Jesus Christ says the same thing, empty thyself, I shall fill thee. Worship is a process of sublimation of ego. In the name of worship, if there is more assertion of ego, it's not worship.
There is not much of God. Supposing you are conducting Bhagavad Gita lecture, Lakshmi Narayan is conducting Bhagavad Gita lecture, invitation card is going. Everywhere there is Lakshmi Narayan's photo, name Lakshmi Narayan is so big, too much about him. Bhagavad Gita is written very small letters somewhere in the corner. Then you know it is Rajasic. Upanishads were written, their names of who gave Upanishads, it is not written, given. Who gave Upanishads, you don't know. Quietly. See, when anything functioning normally in your body, they don't make their presence known. If they are making their presence known, means something wrong with it. In your body, the finger is making its presence known. Every now and then you are doing like this, means we all know that there is something wrong with the finger.
What would you call Swami Ramdev and Shri Shri Ravi Shankar?
I will not call them anything. I have nothing to do with them or anybody for that matter. I will not discuss any personality.
Oh, we cannot allow to discuss them.
Not allowed.
In the spiritual world in India, they are like
let them be whatever. Whoever it is, I do not want to discuss any personality. We are discussing principles.
I thought that's a good example we will
get. I don't want to talk about personalities. I made it very clear to you. You can make your own conclusions. I do not want to talk anybody.
Okay.
So,
easy.
Our attention is to move away from personalities to principles. Role of Vedanta is to pull man out of his infatuation to personalities, celebrities, to eternities. If X, Y, Z is rajasic or tamasic, they will incur the karma. I have nothing to do with it. If I have to do something with them, if I have to do something with them, then with whatever knowledge I have, I do the analysis and deal with it. Otherwise, I have to ask myself, this is what the first lesson we learn in our course in Vedanta. The poem called Turkey and the Ant. Turkey and the Ant. Poem. The poem says, ere you remark another sin, with thy own conscience look within. Control thy more voracious will, nor for a breakfast nation's kill. The poem, a turkey is killing millions of ants for a breakfast. And it is criticizing human beings for killing turkey on Christmas Day. The tradition to have this turkey on Christmas Eve, isn't it?
You don't see that so much in India, but when you go to
other countries, you see
America.
West is interest in the West.
Yeah. So the poem is obviously by the Western poet.
So he says, turkey is complaining about human beings killing turkey on Christmas Eve. So the end poet is saying, Er means before you remark another sin. You are talking about human being sin. With thy own conscience and look good. Check within you. Control thy more voracious will, in stomach. Not for a breakfast nation's will. What he is saying is, for one breakfast you are killing nation of ants. Nation of ants you are killing for breakfast. And yet you are criticizing the sin of a human being, which is one turkey in a year, which is shared by 8 people. So compare and contrast with that Their sin is nothing, your sin is much. Instead of talking about, instead of being extroverted, try to purify yourself. As you purify yourself, your clarity improves. Even here, after talking Bhagavad Gita, unless if somebody is personally wanting to discuss something with me, I'm not going into your life. Supposing you have something you want to discuss in case once in a while, that's fine. There also, whatever I think is right, I say that I think. Don't get into somebody else's life. There is so much worth in the best of us. There is so much best in the worst of us. It ill behoves us to talk about the rest of us. Says an American humorist. It's a fascinating thing. There is so much worth in the best of us. There is so much best in the worst of us. It ill behoves us to talk about the rest of us. Like I said, when I have to deal with them, in whatever way, of course I need to do the analysis. That also, I don't go into their character and all that, but I get into, if I have to do something, I do this. Like the companies have to give CSR now. So if you do your analysis, and within your analysis, if you think they are fine, give, otherwise don't give, that's it. So, in Vedanta, that is why we don't get into personalities. We focus on principles. So here he says, possessed by power of lust and attachment. Lust means you want to dominate, control, take. Love means you want to give. You do not want to dominate. You sublimate. In love, when you are in love with your children, you lose the game. You play with your children or grandchildren, you purposely lose. You see them jumping, happy. Love doesn't want to dominate. Here everything is dominance. So they want to gain through tapas some power. And with that power they want to dominate. That's what he says. Those people who practice terrible austerity. When you go into certain methodologies, certain techniques in spirituality, you get some power. What is that you want that power for? Do you want that power to speed up your spiritual process? Or do you want to use that power for material expansion? Or you want to use that power on somebody to control and dominate. That will make you happy Bhagavati Ratam. A simple thing like adhering to disciplined eating, disciplined living. You understand? You get certain physical strength. Now, do you want to use the physical strength for your spiritual growth or use that strength for your material expansion or for destruction of others? That will make it that Rajasic God. Austerity is common for all three. But the motive and method. And what type of austerity? Senseless intense. Tapas. You understand? So that is what he's talking about here. Those people who practice terrible austerity not enjoined by the scripture. Scripture never enjoins these kind of austerity. They only enjoin austerity which will energize you, not dissipate you or destroy, not incur more vasanas, not frustration,
When you go on denying yourself forcefully, what will be the outcome of it? Frustration and depression and depression. Whereas if you practice self-control, sense-control, a disciplined contact, you will be more energized. Rather than suppression and frustration, there will be more of sublimation. There will be more of rising. That will be the effect of tapas that is done in line with scripture. So here it is, they are possessed by power of lust and attachment. They are attached to the outcome of the action. That is the point. Next. Karshayanta sharirastam, karshayanta sharirastam, bhutagrama machetasaha, bhutagrama machetasaha, mamchai vanta sharirastam, mamchai vanta sharirastam, tanvidyasuranishchayan, karshayanta sharirastam, bhutagrama machetasaha, mamchai vanta sharirastam, tanvidyasuranishchayan. Torturing the elements in the body beyond one's capacity, you don't take your capacity into consideration. And scriptures talk about tapas, they talk about taking your capacity into consideration. Even if you go to a yoga class, to a properly trained yoga teacher, and if it's a group of people to whom he or she is training, they will consciously, continuously be mentioning this. Do not overdo, do not see your core yoga practitioners and do more according to your capacity. They'll go on instructing, if you have blood pressure, don't do this. Isn't it? You have to understand that you are doing for your spiritual growth, you are not competing with others. Oh, they are holding for 5 minutes, let me hold it for 6 minutes. Then you will be permanently in that posture. Nobody will be able to take you out of that posture. You know? So, start sharing the elements in the body, neglecting the capacity. You can't compare yourself with somebody who is already in the first graduation level. When did you start? Just started. You've been leading an extremely disciplined life. Just started. How can you compare with those people who've been following a disciplined life for a long time and super capacity they have? And even me means, see, you have 2 children. You give so much attention to one child and you don't give attention to the other child. By not giving attention to the other child, you torture the child. In the sense, where you pay attention, your energy gets channelized to that. Please understand. When my eye is fall on an object and my attention is on that object, my energy starts flowing through that object to that, and then through the eyes to that object. Very interesting. Wherever my senses and senses go, my mind goes. So I need to consciously do tapas to draw my attention away from the senses and focus on the Atma. But if unconsciously I allow my energies to go into the senses, into all the other external factors, then automatically my attention is not on the Atma, Dharma. So I will be torturing, meaning I will be what? Not helping to grow towards Atma, rather I will be completely covering it. That sense, torturing the Atma also. Atma doesn't get tortured. Atma torture means you are not focusing your energy there. That's what it means. All your energy is in today. What is my balance sheet? Says, okay. Tomorrow it should be little more. After tomorrow it should be little more.
Is that wrong?
It's not wrong. You are saying
If your attention is like that, then you don't grow. If you don't grow out of it, your mind doesn't grow out of it. As a result, there are certain consequences. You will have to face those consequences. We are not getting it right or wrong.
Is that not also walking towards perfection? That whatever you are doing, you want to do it perfectly. Is that not part of the exercise?
Please understand this.
Can you please call me Ami?
Okay, Ami.
She says madam.
Okay, Ami. Speak again.
Not call anyone by name.
Okay, I'll call you by name, Mata. Right? Let's get on to the subject. Perfectionism is wrong. When you move towards perfection, we are talking about inner perfection. Right? So the inner perfection will reflect as perfection in action. Right? But external, there is no such thing as external perfection. Because you remember that actual story happened in Akbar's life. Akbar drew a line on the board and told Birbal, can you make it shorter without touching it? He drew another line. By drawing another line, this line that Akbar drew became shorter. So in external level, you cannot attain absolute perfection. Absolute perfection is at the internal level. But as you move towards inner perfection, your outer world also, you start becoming more and more perfect. In fact, what happens is when you go to somebody's house, it's not that you're looking for issues. But generally, you see the wall, painting is slightly tailored. You're not agitated by that, but you see slightly tailored. Because it's the inner perfection. So here, a spiritually inclined person, sattvic person, is more concerned about spiritual growth. Right? He is not against material expansion. If you are against material expansion, you remember my example. If you are against money or you are for money, both the fellows chinta is on money. That's all. So here he is talking about those who are for that cause.
You have to be in the middle.
Middle path.
Middle path.
Neither against nor for. I am interested in spiritual growth. Sublimation of my ego. The more and more I sublimate myself, the greater the self manifests to me. Remember this. Process of spirituality is not addition. Process of spirituality is subtraction. You have to sublimate your balance. Not to add more and more. Are you with me? So we are not concerned about the material addition. Along with material addition, if vasanas are added, that is the problem. As a result of that, is bondage coming more? That's the problem. The way we live in this world, if we are adding more material to our life, that's fine. But along with it, if more bondage is added, then it's a problem. You have added more wealth to you, also you have added more debts. Then it's an issue. You understand? So you have to intelligently balance your life in such a way. We are not bothered about physical addition. We are bothered about mental bondage. So a spiritual person is more interested in reducing mental bondage. In fact, as you start reducing your mental bondage, you will be able to physically run better and add more wealth to you, if you think it's necessary. See, as I'm increasing my material wealth, if I'm also increasing my mental bondage, then that much I will not have capacity to function properly in the world. instead
to my question, then that's not what I meant. I was only on perfection.
Yeah.
Not well, not...
So that is what I'm saying. That perfection is at the inner level. But a rajasic person tries to think that perfection is outside. Yeah, that is why we say delusion. We say, no, they're deluded. See, if they were having proper thinking, why would they do that? They will not. See, I mentioned this to you long time ago. In US, this case was reported, it came up in the court. A guy had a somnambulism problem, sleepwalking problem. And one day when he woke up in the morning, he had a knife in his hand, blood-stained knife, a lot of blood on himself and on the bed. So he woke up with a shock, he didn't know what happened. Straight with that knife, he went to the police station. He went to the police station and complained. I don't know what happened. So this, I have a somnambulism problem. And these people, they imagine, it's like a dream, you know? While they're sleepwalking, a schizophrenic person, for example, imagines. He's in his own world. So like that, he was walking with certain imaginations. You understand? So what was that? He doesn't know. So, police came to his house, they traced the blood stain and it went to the father-in-law's house, that fellow's father-in-law's house. See, his subconscious knows the route to his father-in-law, which happened to be his father-in-law's house happened to be in the neighborhood, few steps away. So subconsciously he walked there and mentally he's been imagining that somebody is trying to attack him and he is stabbing them. And actually what happened was, he had walked up there, he had stabbed his father-in-law.
Had to be the father-in-law.
Right. So the, it was proved in the court very well after a lot of medical examination and all that he had no mens rea. Mensriya means intention. He had no intention. So the court acquitted him. But, here is the catch. Having acquitted, the court said, he needs to be sent to the
asylum,
counseling, all that has to be done till he gets a certificate that is fine to be brought back to the normal living. He cannot come out. You understand? Similarly, we need to understand our thinking is deluded. That is precisely why they are functioning like that. So we don't have to hate them, but we need to understand they have a deluded mindset. So how we deal with their certificate? If you know that this person has this kind of a issue, you be careful with him. But you don't have to hate that person. This is in terms of our relationship. Of course, as an offshoot I'm saying this. This is not what is said here. So if you understand this, things become very clear. So there are people who are deluded like that. Their mindset itself is like this. They think it's not possible to come up in life without destroying others. And it is absolutely fine to do this. They have their own justifications. And they have no remorse, nothing. Because they are so deeply concerned. They are so deeply concerned. Like some school children walking on their way to the school may catch these flies and tie a thread to its wall, to its tail, you know, and then make it fly. They are so deeply tamasic They don't know that they are torturing and they are enjoying. So there are people like that, that's what he's saying.
There is 85% people are like that.
So he's saying from that kind of activity you can know. What is your intention, mode, etc. You otherwise you can know about you also, about others also. This will help you to deal with others and will help you to
grow.
What?
Grow.
Grow more. If I see certain tendencies like this in me, then I must understand I am still having rajasic tendencies here, sattvic tendencies here. So I need to start cleansing myself. Life is an opportunity given to cleanse myself more and more. That's why I say in my classes, a Vedantin is a Shudra. In the sense, go on cleansing. You have no other job. Simply go on purifying yourself. So when I see some fault in others, I will ask myself, do I have the same fault? Or maybe some other fault, maybe more magnified or maybe less magnified. But I look at that and start correcting myself. So this full of power of lust and attachment. This I've got today. I must get this more so I can dominate, can control, etc.
So those people practice terrible austerity. Terrible austerity means what? No capacity taken into consideration. No intellect participating in their austerity.
Next. Achha, we have already done that. We are torturing the elements in the body and even me embodied within. So me embodied within means? I will explain to you. The focus is not on the Atma. The focus is on the body, mind, intellect. That's all. They are more interested in gaining more knowledge, more interested in gaining more wealth, etc. They are not interested in the Atma. By not focusing, you are torturing the Atma. Embodied, Atma embodied within. Atma is within you and embodied as it were, and they are senseless. Senseless means without thinking. Means what? Senseless means, within bracket, you have to put all the attention on senses. See, a sensible person will see through, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A senseless person will not see through.
Mm-hmm.
He is only identifying with senses, that's it. He is senseless. A sensible person will say, okay, my senses are saying, go up. But a sensible fellow will say, is this the right thing to do? Is this what the other person also wants? Is this going to affect the other person? He'll ask those questions. Here, senseless means no intellect, only stuck at the sense level. That's it. Nothing else. Completely at the mat level. Know them to be of demonic resolve. Rakshas. They are not Deva. They are Asura Sampradaya. Sura means good. Asura means detrimental. They have the detrimental tendencies. And why are they like that? Because they are completely deluded. Totally deluded. Kalidasa says, not says, in fact in his life, he was sitting on a branch and he was cutting the very same branch. meaning he will fall down. But he was doing it. That is how deluded he was before he became Kalidas. And we all do this. Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, when we get there, we will see, it's going to say, Agre Vishamiva, Pariname Amritam. And Agre Amritam Iva, Agre Amritam, Pariname Visham. Means what? In the beginning it is poison, end it is nectar, which is sattvic method. Rajasic method is, in the beginning it is nectar, nectarine, the end it is dukkha. So a deluded person goes for instant joy. He doesn't ask what is the trap. Please understand, the four letter word free means there is another four letter word attached to it, that is trap. It's a trap. F-R-E-E. Another, what is hiding behind that is T-R-A-P. It's a trap. This is, they're trying to catch the fish. They put that, what do you call that?
Bait.
The
worm.
They put the worm there. Fish goes for it. And the fish is caught. It's a bait. So that's what, so you're saying they are asuric, demoniac. They can't think, they can't solve. How then will you come out of any delusion? Anybody? What do you have to do?
Become spiritual.
Go towards
the light
or knowledge
of the religion. Aware of it. Okay. And recognizing it. Then? Working towards
it with the help of
Guruji
or maybe the scripture, Veda. Accept it. And be ready to put your ego away and work towards it.
The moment you are getting attracted, when there is a temptation to plunge into it, right? When there is a temptation to plunge, you are attracted, you have to withdraw. Withdraw means temporarily. Delay. Delay, discriminate. Think. What are the consequences? Do I have the capacity? Take all the factors into consideration. Then decide and do.
That is before delusion.
If you are totally deluded, you can nothing we can do in the next janma maybe.
Mm-hmm.
No, I am talking about a person who is not even alerted by the attack. The moment he is so impulsive. That is why I am saying, no? First if you have a chance only if you are alerted by that attraction. First thing is, you come in there, last day, last one hour offer. Immediately you have to do it. Take the credit card and serve it. You know, attraction, attraction. 50% discount. Now, this is wonderful. Because that's the thing, that bill is rung now. So you immediately say, okay. Wait. Hang on. You know, but you are so deluded, let's say, you are so tamasic, that as soon as you saw the board and you went in, nothing can be done. But a little bit of alertness is there, then I say delay. Delay the doing. Discriminate and decide. Now, here, one minute. When you delay and discriminate,
your discrimination will be better if you slightly move away from the situation and come back to it. When you are there, remember Vali's example. When you are in front of the object, object draws 50% of your capacity. You can't think properly. Better to leave that scenario, go somewhere else, relax, think and come back. In that place, if you try to think, you are most likely to not think objectively. You will think pressurized by the object. Very many times. So you have to use this technique of getting out of that situation. There, most unlikely, you have to take an objective decision. Very, very unlikely. So, here in the case of a person completely demonic, Asura Nishaya. Asura means demonic. He doesn't see it like that, no. He doesn't know. When a moth sees the light, moth doesn't know it is going to destroy. That is Asura. So they don't want to make you think. So now comes another question. Life will throw certain opportunities or attractions or whatever at you where you need to make quick decisions. So you need to strengthen the ability to take quick and spontaneous decisions. How do you do that?
But you still go waiting for it.
That is at that time. But this process over a period of time should become more spontaneous.
They call me in a certain path, so it becomes easy.
Then what is that path?
I presume it's your path. The path is... Can you repeat the question?
When the opportunity or attraction of anything comes, I said, the moment that alarm bell rings, delay, discriminate, between delay and discriminate, go away from the situation, there you can, without any temptation, discriminate. Having discriminated, come, decide and do, either for or against. Right. But now, there may be situations where, if you delay, it may go away from you, and it was a good opportunity. You understand? So you need to take decisions quicker.
But you still have to see. But you sharpen the intellect.
Sharpen the
intellect.
How?
Sharpen your intellect.
Yes, how?
Over mind and emotion.
How?
So practice on a regular basis.
On a daily basis, if you sit down and think, exercise your thinking becomes sharper. So what happens is, in situations, you will be more spontaneous. Also, doing tapas in such a way that you keep on controlling your temptations by strengthening the willpower. See, why do we have these kind of practices in our traditions? No matter any Islam is there, Christianity is there, Jainism is there, Buddhism is there. Maybe some people are doing it without thinking, that's a different matter in every religion. But if you see, how do you strengthen your willpower? By giving it a task to do and giving it a task not to do and practicing it. Isn't it? So you say, next half an hour, I will not talk. So your mind wants to talk. You control, control, control. So by practicing like that, you develop more willpower. And next 1 hour, I'll only do this, this, this. So I'm sending my mind to that only. Every time it slips again, I'm sending. You develop more willpower. You understand? So they have this kind of mountain, fasting, all sorts of things. So so that you strengthen your willpower. So you practice tapas and thinking on a daily basis. So you have sense control and sharper intellect. So when you get to those kind of situations, you can make quick decisions and not get trapped. In that sense, if you have practiced spirituality, even materially it will help you. But that's not the main idea of spiritual practice. That is why we say, daily thinking, and when you want to go and exercise in the gym, you need equipments. Similarly, when you want to think, you need information, food. So, take the scriptures and exercise your thinking. Then, the food for thought is provided in the scriptures, you are also exercising your thinking. When such situations come, you are able to quickly take decisions. That is the reason how some people are able to take decisions like this. Some people are not. Because they have never done practice. You have hardly any seconds left when you are playing Wimbledon to take a decision where to hit the ball. Last minute they make adjustments. So the other fellow gets deceived. And the ball goes the other side. And they will take the decisions like this. And that comes with practice. Ball practice. Practice with others. Shadow practice. All sorts of things they do. So, that practicing is tapas. Why you do it? How you do it? This is the motive. All that decides whether it's Daiva or Asura. Next. Aharasvapi sarvasya trividho bhavati priyaha trividho bhavati priyaha yajnyas tapastata dhanam yajnyas tapastata dhanam tesham vedami mamsuno tesham vedami mamsuno aharasvapi sarvasya trividho bhavati priyaha yajnyas tapastata dhanam Tesham Vedami Mamsuno. Verily, the food dear to all. Ahara. The food dear to all also is threefold. Meaning there is sattvic food, rajasic food, tamasic food. Then yajna is also threefold. Sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, yajna. Then austerity, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, tapa. Then dhanam, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, dhanam. Do hear this, their distinction. Krishna is telling Arjuna, now I am going to talk about this. Ahara, for sustenance of life. Right? You need to do intake of food. You need to take in food. And through your eyes also you take in. Through your ears you take in. Through all your senses you take in. Constantly taking in. What kind of ahara are you taking in? In management talks we say this. G-I-G-O. What is G-I-G-O? Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. Why you want to allow the garbage in? Stop it there itself. So, food. Recently somebody forwarded a very interesting science video. How are guts? You call it gut feeling. Guts is probably the second brain, is what the video is saying. Like the food you eat, the digestive system, it is, they are correlating with the mood swing. You understand? Very interesting video. I put it up in the WhatsApp. It's there in the YouTube also. I've been talking about it for a long time. So certain type of food. Now, we say the food is not a direct cause, but it's conducive. Right? In Abu Dhabi when I had first gone there for lecturing, the class was from 8:30 to 10 in the night. And because it has, the class members were, some of them were working in the government, so 7 to 3 is what their timing is. Multinationals, they used to work from 8 to 5. And the private companies in Abu Dhabi, they have two shifts. 8 to 1 and 4 to 7:30. So for everybody to come attend the class was at 8:30 to 10 in the night. And since so they, majority of them had taken the food and come to the class. So if you are a South Indian and you have eaten curd rice with potato fry, you are come and sit in an AC room where the AC glass is hitting on you directly. And we are chanting, aha, rasto pisan, because serotonin is secreting in your stomach, which is making you feel sleepy. So the food is conducive for sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. And a sattvic person will go for sattvic food. Rajasic person will go for rajasic food. Tamasic person will go for tamasic food. A sattvic person will not decide what food he wants only based on taste. He is not against taste. But he will also see the repercussions. Understand? You know, we have this South Indian restaurant. Here also you have this Saravana Bhavan. Like that, after my class in Dubai once, class member said, let's go out for dinner. I went with him. I ordered something and he ordered biryani. As we were eating, I said, how is your biryani? Is it nice? I'll tell you tomorrow. Today you ate fine. Once it goes in, what does it do to you? I'll tell you tomorrow. So, repercussions. A sattvic person thinks through. Do you mean? So, ahara. We also saw Ahara Niyama Yajna when we studied 4th chapter. There has to be discipline there also. Now, then Yajna. Firstly, in a sattvic person's life, tamasic, rajasic, everybody will do Yajna. But how do they do Yajna? Why do they do Yajna? What are all there in Yajna? In fact, when he's talking about tamasic in Yajna, he says there will be no mantra. When you get to that place, you see. You know, there is no Yajna. There is mechanically going on. And dana. When Karna used to do dhanam. He didn't want his hand to be above the person who is receiving. So he used to keep it like this and we used to take it from his hand. This is what we studied in the books. It talks about him. So even in dhanam, is it sattvic, rajasic or tamasic? Sometimes when people do dana, they insult. It's better not to do that dana. You destroy even a little bit of self-esteem that person has. Like I said, the more and more sattvic, you will be merging with the society. Anything that you do, like Jesus Christ says, what your left hand does, your right hand should not do. Meaning, it is not that you hide and do it. Come inside. You are going slowly to the kitchen and then, meaning, no pronouncements, nothing. Quietly you do. question, then also there is an ego. You clearly understand that you are passing it on. He is only giving it through you. Why you want to have that ego that you are giving? If he has given you an opportunity to give it through you, you do that, so you can use that process to purify you even more, that's all. Sitting and giving lecture, understand that the Guru Parampara is talking to you. You see how you can use this knowledge to better yourself and more. Why take this ego into you? Dhanam. The 18th chapter, he is going to say, Yajna Dhana Tapa should not be given. Given up. Should be practiced. But he talks about sattvic yajna, sattvic tapas, sattvic dhana. If in your life there is sattvic tapas, sattvic yajna and sattvic dhana, your life will be more enriched. If these three are missing in your life, then it will not be enriched. So, from now he will talk about what type of food a sattvic person will go after. Rajasic person will go after. Tamasic person will go after. And then yajna, then tapas and dhamma. So from our mental inclinations, predominantly what is, we know what we are made of. But if you are more and more inclined towards study, scriptural injunctions will go into you, then slowly, slowly, you will tend towards what is more energizing and good for you in the long run. Not over strenuous things. Sensible, not senseless. A divine person will underline the sense of principle with sense of proportion. Sense of principle with sense of proportion. If intellect is not there, sometimes maybe no principle only, or principle will be there, no proportion. Both are dangerous. Tamasic fellow, no principles. Rajasic fellow, no proportion. Sattvic fellow, principle, but proportion.
Narayana yeti samarpayami, Narayana yeti